Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Tom.
Hello.
Once a cheater, always a cheater, question mark?
Gee whiz. I mean, all right. Sorry, visceral reaction all around the room today. Well, look, I mean, yes, right, but I think the person can change and they don't have to be that person forever.
Yeah, so then no to once a cheater, always a cheater.
Well,
growth can happen.
I mean, once a murderer, always a murderer. Once you've been convicted of the crime, right?
Yes, but contextually what I'm asking you is not once you've done the thing, did you do the thing? It's once you've done the thing, will you continue to do the thing?
Right, okay. Well, yes. In that case, no. God, no. No,
yes.
Personal growth, change can always happen.
I've got a lot of friends, almost all female, who do wholeheartedly believe once a cheater, always a cheater.
Yeah.
And I used to believe that because I had my experience of
someone I dated over about
6 or 7 years who just kept sticking his penis into other people.
Look, I'm sure it was an accident. And
it'll never happen again. Yes. It's literally happening while you're texting me.
Oh, boy.
But I have seen evidence in relationships of people around me, of people who have made the mistake and who have done the work. And I think that is the key to this, is doing the work. You can't just say it will never happen again. You need to do the work to regain that person's trust.
Interesting. So is this taking place in one relationship? So one person cheats.
You've either got to do the work to fix your reputation or do the work to fix your relationship, whether it's you know, for future relationships going forward, or like it's just to fix yourself, really. But you have to prove to anybody who knows what you did that you're not going to do that again.
Absolutely. My instinct is to do that in the same relationship takes a whole lot of work and a whole lot of work from the person who was wrong, the wronged party.
Yes. So you both have to work at it so hard. And for, you know, and I've said this to people who have cheated before and have gone, it's a big mistake, I want it. And I said, okay, well, I'm going to tell you that for the next, you know, year or so, if somebody suspects you of something, you're going to have to go, I understand why you feel that. You can't get defensive.
So
you can't be like, how could you say that? I already said, you've got to go, I understand. I take that on. But here are the ways that I'm not doing what you said. Like, you just, people are going to say, you did the thing because you did the thing.
Yes, you are right.
Yes.
It's like soul searching. We've covered this. You can't just fuck off and do a soul search in an afternoon.
It's a 5-minute soul search. Express.
Ditto,
like,
with
an express tan.
Ditto with any behavior similar or orbiting cheating. No, Buster Brown. You've got to do the crime. You've got to do the time. You've got to sit there. You've got to agonize and you've got to hurt.
And you've got to understand that the people around you are going to doubt you for a while.
Yep. Oh, yep. Oh, yep.
And that's going to feel shit, but you need to sit in that.
And if you intend to do all this in the same relationship to get back to with the person that you wronged, I would say the chance of that are pretty small, right?
It does happen,
pretty
though.
Slim. It does happen, yeah. But it is pretty slim. Conversation gets easier where you go, all right, they cheated in that relationship, but in relationships going forward,
maybe it was just the ex. That's why they cheated.
Yeah,
no, it was you. You're a dick. Own it.
Interesting.
All right. Welcome to Ghosts of Boyfriends Past. I'm Liz Best here with my
Tom Harris with furrowed brow.
Here with my Tom Harris with furrowed brow.
Oh, Liz, you're my Liz Best as well.
Bless,
I mean, in this room, what else do we have?
Now, sound the alarm, everybody.
Yeah, where's that?
The hurricane alert.
Oh,
sound the alarm because Jess is our guest this week. That is right, Jess from episodes past. That's the Jess, Hurricane Jess alarm.
Gird your loins.
Hi, stunners. Yes, it's me, Jess Kate Ryan. She's back. She's better than ever.
She's got some stories to tell. So if you haven't joined us before, go back and search for, we've got Jess and the Drummer Drama. And I can't remember what her other episode was called, but there's another one in there too.
That one's a really sad-o one.
That one's super sad.
That is called The Wasted Years.
Jess and
the Wasted Years.
Oh, it already broke my heart just hearing that again.
Well done.
Yes, Jess and the Wasted Years. And today, what are we? We were already sort of discussed off air what we were going to call this episode. Are we sticking with it?
Look, to be honest, like, it's funny that you brought up that topic before my episode. Not that we're going to talk about that today. I've still got several months of therapy to process about my experience with cheating. So I'll be happy to come back later on.
Let's discuss that.
I'm not ready.
No. Hurts.
Yeah. I mean, just for a little bit of lowdown before we get into what I'm talking about, I am in a weird space in my life where I have been single now for 3+ years now.
Oh, 4 years for me.
And I am severely traumatized by my previous experience. Mm-hmm. I have recently tried to date, but it turns out that I don't want anybody touching me.
Yeah. We've heard this before.
I don't want to do it. Like, I have absolutely no interest in dating at the moment. I have interest in getting outward gratification from men telling me that I'm pretty.
Yeah.
Absolutely no way, no how am I in a spot to actually put myself out there.
That's great.
And that's fine.
Yeah. Because nothing in life, dating has this weird, I don't know what it is, attached to it, mentality and energy attached to it, where you're like, what? You're not ready to date someone?
No.
What's wrong with you?
And
but in any aspect of life, you're not ready to jump off go paragliding? What's wrong with you?
For me, it's not even a not ready. It's a I don't want to.
Yes, I don't want to.
And that's a valid choice.
Yes, that's right.
Like, obviously, like any normal person, I crave intimacy and I crave that sort of connection with somebody. But the thing is, I thought I had found that with this recent person. And I've been getting down on myself about not being over this person who is the devil and shall not be named. But is the fake name
we're going for Satan?
Yes, Satan works.
Cool. Okay.
But this thing has been like off and on for like over 2 years now. And it's just, I'm exhausted and I'm tired and I'm so sick of like getting down on myself about not being in a place to like fully commit to great people, because that's the thing. I've dated great people, but I'm just not there.
No.
They seem to be like, yeah, I'm going to tell my mother about you and it's great. And I'm like, I'm not there. I can't do this.
Goodbye.
Sorry, I'm busy.
Smoke bomb.
The stories that I'm going to talk to you, look, as stories, I'm going to keep this short and snappy because this is going to, what did we decide to call it?
Jess and the Bin Men Parade.
Jess and the Bin Men Parade.
When I was a young man, my father took me into the city. Jess, I'm just going to cool your jets a little bit here. Jess is a returning guest on this year's show. And people keep trickling along to this little podcast in their ever-growing numbers who aren't familiar with the rules. Mm. Okay, class, I can't have all this giggling while I'm trying to reprimand everyone. We do have rules in this show. Jess knows them already. She's comfortable. She's at home. She knows to give an alias, as we have. Satan, I believe, will be the first one today.
For that particular person.
We'll get into that next year.
We do that so that people can't, it's doxing basically, can't share personal private information of other people. And that sort of leads into the second rule. If you figure that out who Jess is talking about,
don't ruin it.
Yep. All right, we've got a good thing going on here, Liz and I.
I don't want to ruin it for everybody.
All right.
Otherwise, people get really cranky at you.
And no threats on air, please.
No Jess. Threats on Mike.
Nah.
On Mike.
And just before we settle into Jess's little story, I will point out that at the end of the episode, we're going to be announcing a little bit of a giveaway.
So is it me?
We're giving Jess away. No, it's not. We've partnered with JBL for a pretty great prize for people who write in. So we'll tell you about that later. But you've got to say for the whole episode before I tell you what you've got to do.
Yeah, so that's headmastering rules out of the way. Jess has given herself time to check her notes, check her aliases.
I'm just making sure my aliases.
Check her alibis. we're making sure all legal aspects are covered here. So it's a collection of short stories from you today.
So obviously being single for 3 years, I, over the last, 3 years, have gone through periods of like really heavily dating. So putting myself out on apps and just...
And then taking yourself back in.
Yeah. And like literally going on dates with like the most random of people. So I've collected a few stories, obviously. The first one... The first one I'm going to talk about, we're going to call him Gavin.
Gavin.
So, Gavin puts himself out on... This is a Bumble one, by the way.
A Bumble.
Yeah.
Right.
So, puts himself out. He's obviously, like, a little bit into the environment, likes to go outside. Not my vibe, but, happy to give these people time and see if they can convince me to go for a walk.
Well, if they can convince you to go for a walk, you could be able to convince them to stay in a Netflix.
Exactly, so, right. Anyway, so Gavin and I decide to meet at the illustrious Brisbane Brewing Company. Oh, we love a bevy. We love a beer. It was a Thursday night, which to me, red flag. Like, Thursday night's my time. Like, Thursday night's, like, big TV time. Like, anyway.
Also, it means that they're probably not at work on a Friday.
Like, yeah.
But some people are. So going out on a Thursday night automatically means you have less of a good time because you've got to go to work.
But the double red flag of a Thursday night date was we didn't meet until 9.
No.
9 p.m.
Nothing happens after 9.
And it's like, I'm sorry, like...
What
are you
doing beforehand?
Exactly. I was like,
where do you have to be?
Anyway.
Thanks for fitting me in.
So I show up in my tiz as per. Beautiful vintage dress, great little belt, fun little loafer with a sock moment. Like, I looked so great for a Thursday.
Oh, I love a sock moment.
Sock moment on a Thursday. Cannot believe you went there. Amazing.
Honey, I'm here for my sock moment. Come and give it to Padre.
Anyway, so I show up at BB Co. And then in walks, I almost said his real name, Gavin.
Gavin.
We will bleep.
Shoot him a Gavin.
Gavin.
In walks Gavin. First off, he's really, really tall. And not like tall. I'm like tall.
He's a tall chap.
Like, Jess is not a tall lass.
I'm 5'4", so I'm pretty average.
Now, is he tall to everyone else in the human race, or is he just tall to you?
No, tall as into the human race.
Like tall to Tom.
Tall
boy. He shows up. He's got like a dress shirt on. So I start at the top. Brunette. Obviously. No glasses.
That's unusual for Jess Kate Ryan.
Against type, yes.
Go down. Dress shirt, okay. Dress pants, no belt. I was like,
Oh, come on. Give the boy a no belt pass. No one wears belts anymore. You don't need them to keep your pants up.
Further down, his shirt is too short for his arms.
Well, he's a tall lad. Maybe he can't buy shirts that fit easily.
Yes. Mm. Dress pants, and then he is literally wearing joggers.
Joggers.
Not a sneaker.
Oh, it's a jogger.
Oh.
It's like a gym shoe, like a well-worn.
There is a very big difference between sneakers, which are trendy right now, and joggers.
Like jogger.
Like Seinfeld joggers.
Like Seinfeld jogger.
Yeah.
Might as well put on a blazer. We were at the end,
chuck on a parachute jacket. Right.
So we sit down. He's like, his job is talking about like bugs or something, but he really wanted to get into plants. And
move industries, the up and up industry of plants.
Biology, yeah.
And it was so like confusing. And I was just like nodding along because I was like, it's 9:45. Like, this is getting really late.
Has he asked you anything about yourself yet?
No, barely asked anything about me, but he asked me what I thought about plants. And I said, I kill them.
How did I know you
and
were going to say that?
He was...
Yeah, did he read that as with intent and malicious
murderer.
Well, I don't know. I was just like, I'm really sorry. Like, I've tried, but
They're fussy bitches.
And I'm already fussy enough.
You just don't have a green thumb.
No,
right?
Exactly.
You just don't have it in you.
And it was so funny because, like, looking at this man with how he was dressed, and, like, I'm not really one to judge, but he was... No, what?
Gee whiz.
Sorry, even our producer pissed himself laughing at that point.
Wait. Cackling hyenas in here, all right.
But he was looking back at me as if he was disappointed in me. Like I was like, I look fucking stunning. Like,
yes. Applause to you for having that rather than being like, what's wrong with me? Being like, what's wrong with you for not liking what I look like?
I was just like, I look stunned. Like, I don't know what the fuck your problem is. And yeah, it was just, he asked me no questions about myself. Couldn't have, like, and like, you know, not to say that I'm the most super interesting person at the, in the world, but like, you know, I was a working actor at the time. I was also working in retail. I had my like successful podcast. Like, I read a lot. Like, I've got plenty to give the conversation. He had no interest. Anyway, end of the night, I was like, yeah, nah, like not even like a one, like one and done, like Tinder, like hookup sort of situation. I was just like, yeah, I'm gonna like scoot. Turns out he was the housemate of some friends of mine, and he turns out to be like the weirdest little weirdo on the planet. And of course, I found him on Tinder or Bumble because he was brunette.
So how did you find out that he was?
I was just talking about the situation of this weird guy called Gavin. And my friend was like looking at me really confused, and she was like, was he like super tall? And I was like, super tall,
super tall, super into bugs, but looking to merge into that.
And it was so funny because like earlier on I had met the forensic botanist Dr. Gordon Geimer through my crime podcast, and I was like, oh well, then you like must know like Dr. Geimer, like he's like one of the leading like botanists in the country, and also, you know, he has done this amazing work for forensic botany. And he was like, never heard of him. I'm like, no, red flag.
Filthy casual over here.
Anyway, so yeah, it had turned out there was all this connection. So it turns out I dodged a bullet. He was a super weirdo. So
at least you got confirmation that he was a super weirdo. Yeah. And that it wasn't just you.
So it's unpacking it a little bit. It's one guy with like one super niche interest, right? Or
it's not asking you any questions about you on a past 9 PM date.
I was galloping towards that point.
Sorry, I just cut you off at the pass.
No, you're right. And sometimes when you have those interests and you're super like you're zeroed in on them, right?
Yeah.
And you're like, this is the best thing in the world to me ever. Oh my god.
And it's not as if I said, oh fuck plants. Yeah. I hate plants.
You did admit that you murdered them. Yeah. However.
That is true.
Anyway.
Plants. Oh, you love plants. Me? I kill them. Yeah.
Murder
it's a bit
them.
Yeah. And the guy has brought that to the table and just completely missed all the signs saying, ask a question about her.
Yeah.
You know, point it.
$10. He was just such a silly, silly goose.
Gavin, you silly goose. We need a silly goose alarm here on Ghost of Boyfriend's Past. We've got the dump them button. We're going to have to get the hurricane award alarm, and we're going to have to get the silly goose.
The honk, silly goose honk, honk, honk. Anyway, so moving on.
I really want that button.
So a couple of months later, I match with this guy, also a brunette. We start actually having like really, really good conversation. Like it wasn't as if it was, but it was just really good banter and we got along. I'm going to call him Daniel, and mainly I'm going to call him Daniel because I cannot remember his name.
Great.
I mean, sure. So you're not going to fuck up.
Anyway, so we had exchanged numbers, and I was, you know, a bit apprehensive about doing that until I get on the date with them and I decide that I want to see them again because, you know, you have to add them into your phone and then you've got them in your phone.
Yeah,
and
but then, like you can unmatch someone and they can't find you. If they've got your number, then you got to change your phone number.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just not great.
So we were having this really good banter. I was actually really excited about the date. We show up. And he had sort of catfished me a little bit with his photos. Like, he'd obviously picked the photos of himself that a lot of them were group photos, red flag. But he also just, he must have picked, like, just the best of the bad bunch, you know?
Now, Jessica, isn't that, A, what everyone's doing anyway, and B, within his right to...
No, that's fine.
Yeah, so, but isn't everyone on social media taking their best? Or
I have a huge worry about catfishing people, so I try to be, like, I tried to put like a
honesty.
Good mix of bunch, but I definitely try to put recent photos. Some of these were very, very old.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
if you're if you're 30 and putting photos up when you're 18 with your head full of hair and
I always get my friends to vet because sometimes, you know, you think that you look a different way. So whenever I've done up profiles for those kinds of horrible places that people go and date on now, I will show my profile to someone and be like, are these pictures an accurate representation of what I look like in real life, or am I rose-coloured glasses-ing the shit out of my body image right now?
Yeah.
And, yeah, I get the verification that, yes, that does actually look like me. No, it doesn't look like I have a filter, it's all good.
And I don't think boys do that because, and to be honest, like I would love to.
Why would we? We know better. We know best. We're just going to do what we do.
And
all
it's
right.
So funny.
Just this, you fool.
Gorgeous guy that I work with at uni. He's a few years younger than me. So like obviously nothing's going to happen. And also I don't really like to fraternize within the workplace. Like he is the sweetest boy, but my friend found him on Hinge the other night and sent me his profile. And I was like, Lockie, do you realize that you make yourself to look like such a bin man? Like, you're such a nice guy. You're like exceptionally generous and like
right.
all this stuff.
So this is someone that you actually know.
No. And
do we
really
need to bleep out his name?
No, he'll be fine.
Okay, good.
He is a lovely boy, but like his presence on dating apps is just not really reflective of who he is.
Yeah.
And
right.
I think
you've got to get it vetted.
You have to.
So he's trying to hit he's trying to hit an audience.
I think so. And right. It's just
trying to macho it up a bit, or
knowing him personally and how like he actually is, like, you know, for a 21-year-old boy, he's actually really, really lovely.
Mm.
You know, because they suck at 21. Like, fuck it. And I was just so surprised. Anyway, that was off topic. Okay, so we're back to Daniel. So he was like, I'm going to take you to the greatest pizza place that you've ever been in your entire life.
And now we are in a big call. And we are in Brisbane. Now, I love Brisbane and it's many fine
definitely
eateries.
Definitely not got the best pizza
and
I've ever had in my life anywhere in Brisbane.
To unwind and catch a refreshment.
So obviously I went in going like, this is going to be good. Turns out the place was around the corner from where I used to live in South Brisbane. I was like, I'm sure if I had heard about this place, I would have been hitting this up once a week, every week. We show up. It's this weird bar. And like the people obviously, and then Daniel shows up. And yeah, not really reflective of who he was in his photos. Was a little bit socially awkward. Went in, we ordered the pizzas, we ordered some beers. We sit down. He doesn't sit across from me. He sits next to me.
Yes.
That's a yes if you're already dating and a no if you're just meeting someone for the first time.
It's so poor on many – it's a poor choice on several levels.
Yep.
Right? And you're going to say, you don't know me. Don't sit next to me. I'm uncomfortable. Get out of my – but also, it's on a date, it crushes – and kills a smooth conversation and talking to each other. You're looking right, you're turned on your side. No.
You only do that when you're at the point of dating someone that you want physical closeness.
Yes.
And you have earned said physical closeness.
Yes, that's right.
So wild. Okay. And it turns out, and like I speak quite loudly, he had the loudest speaking voice I have ever encountered in my
entire
life.
Coming from JKR, that is loud.
That is loud,
so
mate.
So with the pair of you, there would have been dogs crying in the distance.
Real hurricane alarms
cars
going off.
Car alarms going off.
So the pizza arrives.
Uh-oh.
Mamma mia!
Oh, my God. Okay, so I ordered I love a cheeky mug. I love a mug pizza.
Very good.
The tomato is like barely cooked.
That's a shame.
This was the first pizza, like pizza for one, that I've never, like I couldn't finish. I was like, this is horrific. I cannot abide this. Like a mug, like how can you fuck up a mug?
I mean, there are many ways one can fuck up a mug.
How can someone fuck up a mug? It's tomato cheese.
And
like,
you're asking that question fairly just on a base level. Who can fuck up a mug? But this place is the best. This place is the best. So you're asking that on top of the title of the best.
Exactly. Luckily, the beer was plentiful, so I just was like knocking them back. Anyway, so then we get into start talking about career. And I was like, okay, yeah. So like I'm an actor. So, you know, I mainly spend my time auditioning for lots of things. I've done mainly like commercials. I studied musical theatre. I also do a podcast. Blah, 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 blah. Anyway, Daniel, what do you do? So he goes, so what I do, I'm a professional gambler. And I was like, okay. A friend of ours, friend of the podcast, Ben Linsky, his brother is a professional poker player. So I was like, okay, so it's not completely without the realm of possibility.
Yes, I understand.
No. This man pays people
yes.
for their identities
yes.
and then uses yes. betting websites.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Yes.
And makes money doing that. Yes. All day, every day, 18 yes. hours a day, he sits at home on his computer doing this.
Yes.
And my eyes are just widening as he's telling me this, because I was like, surely this can't be legal. Surely this cannot be legal.
You don't want to bring a professional home to your mother? What's wrong with you, Jess?
But Jeez. The thing is, as he's like talking to me, I realize he's trying to sell me on the scam.
Yes.
And he was like, you know,
this
give
is
you,
an I'd MLM date. This yes is an illegal while. MLM yes. date.
Yeah. He's like, I will give you $1,000.
And I'll turn it into.
And yeah. I'm going to take your identity.
Yes. Just your identity.
Just
your identity.
Just your identity.
So he's like, we'd need like your photo ID and your bank card and like all of this shit. And then yes. like they use your identity to make money. So all he does things. This professionally. He learnt it in Mexico.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
He tried to sell me on the fucking scam.
Well done. Well done on
I mean, look, $1,000 is hard to
do. And to be honest,
my identity.
I was in a really bad spot yeah. financially. Yeah. So yeah. I was like,
that's right.
But then I was like, no.
Like, can't you just buy feet pics off me or something?
I was like, if I need to be connected with this man for the rest of time, absolutely not. Because I'm like, surely the police are going to come storming in one day and they're going to find little Daniel like at his like home screen just going like, bet, 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 bet. Like, no, no, no.
And then they'll be like, Jess Kate Ryan, you've done this illegal gambling.
And it's so funny. I think you could tell on the date that like, I wasn't really sold, because I was just like, okay, Daniel, tell it to me again. Like, how the fuck does
make
this
it,
work?
Make it work. Make it make sense.
Yeah.
Make it make sense 100% where I'm like, because, yes, like, this is the best decision I could ever make. And
you know,
it's not getting anywhere near that.
I try not to judge what people do and stuff like that, because, you know, we have to make money. So we all have, like, we're all part of this capitalist society
yes.
and we
yes.
all have to, like, pay
Don't
bills
get me
and
started
shit.
On that shit. Yes.
Like, Zane's tried to sell us on his commune idea, and to be honest, I'm all in. Like, I'm
when
all
Zane,
in to
when
move,
we
to,
just
move
need
to New Zealand.
Install Zane
and
as
living
king
with
of the world.
Fifi and Leia and just, like, living my best life. But in the meantime, I have to work for the soul-sucking man. Anyway. But I just could not. I just could not fathom that this guy was getting away with what he was doing. I was like, can I call somebody? Like, can I? Like, what do I do? Like,
yeah. Do I need to report this guy
yeah.
to someone? How do I?
But it was so funny. At the end of the day, he was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'd love to like see you again. And I was just like getting into the Uber. I'm like, yeah okay, bye.
Totally, bye.
And yeah. Never heard from him again, never followed up or anything. So
yeah,
I think
good.
Because he didn't yeah. sell me on the scam, he decided to never follow through.
Wow.
Yeah, correct. Yes. I'll say it. Yes.
Damn.
Yes.
I'm going to call him Damn Daniel.
Damn Daniel.
Yes.
No. Wow. That's definitely one of the stranger ones.
Have some self-respect. Your
self feet pics, not your identity.
Yeah, your identity is worth a little more than $1,000.
Yes.
Like up front. 100%. Up front. I want to see some more cash older
yeah.
than
Yeah, definitely.
Than
I was like, I just don't. Because like, you know, something could happen. It's just not a good
yes.
idea. And yes. I think he was taking advantage of a lot of people who were
Dude,
very, very
Dude, you can take credit
desperate.
Cards out with people's names and all the information that he was asking. He doesn't need to professionally gamble. He's already got your bank account details.
Yeah, no,
and it's
fucked.
When you're just viewing it as a one-off, like you on this one date, you're going, is it – he wouldn't be – but – You don't know. You haven't seen the hundreds of dates this
no.
man's been on beforehand, right? Who's successfully
he could
got
be going
money.
From your date to another date to
yeah,
try and get $1,000 off someone.
Literally. So yeah, that was a bit of a shock to the system, and I think I definitely took
maybe
some time
he
after
took
that.
You, maybe he took you to shit pizza so that you'd be like, God, surely we need to, you know, go to nicer, more fancier places than this.
Ah,
what? You're going to give me $1,000?
Yes.
I can afford Damn. Better food.
Yes. Mayhaps, or he's got terrible taste, and you, or on that alone, you dodged the ball.
I mean,
just on
it's
terrible
so funny,
trash
the,
taste.
Like what the brain does when, like, when you're a little bit like worried about something. Because to be honest, I have barely any memory of that night. Not that I got like exceedingly drunk,
no, yeah.
but I've just like blocked it out for some weird reason. Anyway, okay, so the next one. This is one of my favorite stories of all time, okay?
Oh, boy. Do we need to
so,
warn people?
As for the Doug the Drummer episode that I showed you guys, that I did for you guys the first time I was here, started at Johnny Ringo's. This story
yes.
also starts at Johnny Ringo's.
Stop going to Johnny Ringo's.
Like, all right, what did we learn? Everybody
don't go
stop
to
going to Johnny Ringo's.
Unless Johnny Ringo's
no,
wants
no,
to
you
sponsor
don't need to
us.
That was the pseudonym.
Yeah, we
all
good.
Right, all right,
she got
right.
it right.
I got
she
it right.
She got it right because I know the actual person's name because I was the one who tracked him down.
Fantastic.
Anyway, yeah. Okay, so I had made these two wonderful friends at work and we decided to have like our first girls' night out, and I'd had a bit of a dry spell. So, you know, not TMI, but I lost my virginity when I was 21. I was obviously with my ex for X amount of years having sex and then became into the casual dating scene. So I was having not a lot of sex, but I was having sex with a lot of different people. And then there was
As
you do. And then there was a dry spell of about 6 months. And that was the longest I had gone without having sex with somebody.
6 months.
I know. Like, yeah. Me now, I'm like, am I joking? Quick,
6 months. Oh my God. Let me play the smallest fucking violin in the world for you.
Gee, that's high pitched and grating. Oh no, that's just your attitude. Sorry.
Anyway, so my friends and I, we go out, we have some drinks and lovely, and it was awesome. We go to Johnny Ringo's when we're already inebriated. I once again ride the bull. I have a video of me riding it slow-mo. And then, shoo, just like it happened with the Doug the Drummer incident, I turn around and I see this gorgeous guy. And more importantly, wearing the most gorgeous suede jacket I have ever seen in
more
my
importantly,
entire life.
He can take the jacket off. I feel like the face is more important, but sure.
Oh my God. I was like, this jacket.
You fell in love with the jacket at
first. She fell in love with
sight.
The jacket, everybody.
Of course, he was brunette.
Brave to wear suede in a bar where people are riding bulls.
Mate, that's the thing. I was like, that's
it
audacious.
It was that boldness and that got him.
Bold,
look
bold,
at him.
Bold.
He's not afraid to wear suede in a cowboy bar. Good man.
Okay. So I was like, okay, that's the one for the evening. So then my friends and I are like standing around, like, and then all of a sudden we just started talking, me and this guy. I'm going to call him Pete.
You have managed to pick names of all people I have been involved with at some point or another in my
That's
life.
That's definitely not
for
his name.
Every single fake name that you picked this episode.
Oh, Pete.
So we start chatting. I find out that he's a teacher. He teaches like maths and PE. I'm like, cool. That's really great. I'm like, oh, I'm an actor. And then my friends were talking to his friends and we're like, is this guy like okay? And they're like, yeah, no, Pete's like really, really lovely. Like he's a really nice guy. And then Pete and I just like keep talking and there's the vibe. I was like, awesome. This is cool. And then he invited me to kick on with him and his friends. We ended up at Rick's. Yuck.
Unless Rick's wants to sponsor us, in which case, yum.
Yeah, Rick's is gross and grotty, but I will defend it at yuck.
I will defend it at yuck. A late Saturday night.
I have thrown up so much at Rick's. I've just remembered.
It's fine when you're young, but when you're 20, you're 26 at Rick's, you're like, this is a bit bleak. Anyway, we kick on there, and then he invites me back to his house, and I was like, yes, and oh my gosh, yes. We end up at this house at Red Hill, and like, not to make any assumptions about people and money and stuff like that, but I assume like this guy's been working as a teacher for quite a few years. I thought he would have had like his own sort of place, but he was
teacher,
like,
salaries are woefully low in Australia.
But he had roommates, so I was like, okay, fine. We get to his house, walks me into his bedroom, and he goes, look how clean my room is.
Oh, that's kind of like, cute.
And his shoes were all lined up in a line. And I was like, okay. And like, that's when the alarm, like a teeny tiny, like Tinkerbell size.
See, this
alarm.
Is me who's been introduced to people and going, look, here is my bedroom. And I'm like, you don't even have a fucking bed frame. Like,
can I say clean?
Lined up shoes is the dream.
He just had nothing. Like, it was clean as in he just didn't own
as in
anything.
He owned nothing. Okay.
What do we talk us through the bases of the room.
There was a bed.
Bed. Shoes lined up. Not in a cupboard.
There was
did he have a top sheet? That's important.
There was definitely only two pillows.
Okay.
There was
that's like, better than one.
There was a top sheet, I believe.
My bar is very low, guys.
Anyway, it gets so much weirder after this.
Okay.
So he decides that he wants to watch Black Books while we're making out. I'm like, weird choice, but I love Dylan Moran, so
I'm into
sure.
It. Yep.
He goes, but there's no television in his room, so I assume we just go out into the lounge room. No.
No. Sorry. What a funny, you just go, you made me giggle. I know what you're thinking. You think we'd watch TV where the TV is.
No.
What could possibly come next? I'm excited.
He goes out into the living room, picks up his television, yes, and brings it into his bedroom.
That's good.
But like, okay, this good huge, stuff, like massive, fucking like massive television. Like not even like an itty bitty little one. I'm talking like door to floor. Yeah.
And that's, and he lugs it in, and then you go, actually, I might go to sleep.
But I'm like, okay, I'm already here. I'm already committed to this.
But like Black Books, like stay for the Black Books. Mm. Come on, that show's great.
Anyway. Lights go off, Black Books goes on, we start making out, top comes off, bra comes off, and like, if people aren't aware, and this is not something that I'm ashamed of, I have really big boobs.
Yep.
I have really, really, really big boobs. And we were making out, and that was all happening, and he goes, I want to do a line off your tits.
Great.
And I thought that was...
No one's ever said that to me in my life, Jessica, so come on.
No one's ever said that to me either. Yeah.
Hold on. I thought that was a remark as to their size.
Oh.
No.
Oh, like, I want to do a line, as in I want to, like, say something about, I don't know.
Yes.
Like a comedy line, I don't know.
He grabs out a literal bag of Coke... And does a line off my boob.
Great.
I mean, fantasy ticked.
And I was like, I was so shocked because it happened so
You're just
quickly.
Sitting there lying, just being like, what?
I mean, he was a gentleman and did offer.
Good offer.
Did offer.
Do you want to do a line off your own tits? Because you could reach. You could reach. You just need to bend your chin down.
What's this guy's name? What's this guy's number? He's got it all.
Yeah, so I was like, I actually have to go to work in like 5 hours, so I better not. Anyway, the whole thing happened. It was not good. We can all sort of imagine, like, you know, I don't need to go into the, but Liz Best.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway, next morning, wake up after like 2.5 hours sleep, and I wake up in this share house in Red Hill with the most bizarre movie playing as we had been sleeping. And I was like, okay, I've got to get home. I have to have a shower.
Still
like,
got
I
coke
feel...
on my tits.
That's right.
Shit off before work.
Gotta go. So I leave. It's very transactional. He might as well have just like shook my hand. I walk out. Like all the people that we were with that night previously were all like sprawled across the living room floor.
They had no TV because of course he'd taken it into his bedroom. Don't know what they were doing all night.
Anyway, so then I'm walking down the hill and it's this really, really steep hill. My Uber comes. I literally fall over. I thought I had broken my ankle. I was like, this is not the time. Anyway, get in the Uber, get home, have a shower, ring my best friend, Eleanor, and I ring her and I was like, oh my God, I need to tell you this hysterical story. And I was like, I picked up this guy, Johnny Ringo's, and his name was Pete, and you know, and she was like, oh, like Pete, what does he do? And I was like, oh, he's a teacher. And then we were like, and then she was like, what, like, subjects does he teach? And I was like, oh, like, maths and HPE. And all of a sudden I can hear on the phone to Eleanor, her boyfriend, go, oh, my God. And I was like, what? And Eleanor goes, what school does he teach at?
Don't say that on air.
I wasn't going to say the school, but I was like, fake school.
Fake school. Oh, I know that school well. They teach you
school.
How to do coke.
And she was beside herself. And I was like, what?
Now,
what?
Now, beside herself, excited, outraged, distraught.
She was like, I cannot believe this. She was
speechless.
Like, that is my friend's ex-boyfriend. Who
Brisbane
turns
is
out
small.
Is a massive coke head.
Yes. Oh, no. Yes. No. Yes. You don't say.
No.
I
like,
have evidence
know,
here.
You know, whatever. And she was like, yeah, he's like, he's crazy, Jess. Like, he, like, destroyed all of their possessions. Like, he's
That's
mental.
That's why he had nothing in his bedroom.
They were
he fucking destroyed it all.
He literally threw them out a window when he was with this girl.
And
I was
like,
no
wonder.
And then
he's like, look how clean my life is. I threw everything out the fucking window.
When I was on a coke bender. And it turned out that he had gone out with, like, my best friend's other, like, good friend. And I was like...
I will never get over how small Brisbane is. I will never get over it.
Oh, dear. Then I had to go to work, obviously, working at shop.com.
Yes.
And was walking. And obviously, after the weird night that I'd had about some guy, like, doing a line of coke off my tits, and I was, like, hungover out of my mind working at James Street. And then my ex-boyfriend walks in.
Oh, good. Just
and literally, I audibly was like to customers, I was like, oh my God. And they were like, what? And I was like, my ex-boyfriend's about to walk in, ladies and gentlemen. Let's just deal with this situation.
Yeah.
The universe is a cruel fucker at times, isn't it? It's just cruel.
But yeah, and he was like, oh, like, how are you? I'm like, I'm fine. I'm absolutely.
Holds tit up. Do you want some coke?
Do you want some coke? Anyway, so that is the story. I like to call him Petey Cokehead.
Mm-hmm.
It rolls off the tongue.
Yep. Doesn't it?
Yeah.
And then I thought, just so that you're all not like going to call the cops on something on me, just being like, I don't think Jess is okay. I'm going to tell you about a nice story.
Good.
Just okay.
To drag us to the finish line.
Yes. Bring us home.
To wrap us up.
Something nice.
So obviously, like, going on Tinder, there's people that are like, you know, back when borders were open and things were okay, like, there were people coming in from interstate all the time, and I matched with this guy who, brunette, glasses, he was a little bit like Mediterranean, which is not normally my vibe, but I was like, okay. Started having really good conversations. He works in like politics, so I was like, oh, there's plenty of conversations and stuff like that, like, okay. We meet, we have like really yummy food, and I can just sort of tell that there's, you know, nothing's really going to go further than maybe this date. Like, I didn't even think we were going to hook up or anything like that.
Right.
And we're like talking, and I was like, yeah, he needs a haircut. Like, yeah, like, I just.
But she's not one to judge.
I'm not one to judge,
ladies and gentlemen.
Obviously. But we were having really good conversation. We were getting along really well, talking about travel and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, we come back to my place, literally, I think, to just have like a couple of glasses of wine. And then he like sneaky gives me a smooch. And I was like, okay, am I going to have a casual sex like thing and it not actually be super traumatizing?
Probably.
I was thrilled. Anyway, we're going to call him Vince. Vince.
Haven't dated a Vince.
Okay.
It's all good.
So I have to say, because I have been told by several men before that I would never be capable of, like, casual dating because apparently I'm too psycho.
I feel like that's a bit fucking rude of any people to tell you what you would and wouldn't be capable of doing.
And to be honest, like, I've gotten in my head, this was one of my first, like, just went into it knowing that it was going to be casual, went in, like, this guy was from Melbourne, so it was not as if I was going to see him again and stuff like that. And I had just been made to feel by a lot of men that, like, I would never be capable of being able to have, like, the one and done.
That's them putting you in a box.
Exactly.
That's them going, no, you stay there.
Absolutely. And so were you recognising that and challenging yourself?
Yeah,
or were you just trying to be...
Yeah, I was like, I was in the situation just going, like, okay, I know this isn't going to go anywhere, but I'm actually having a really good time.
Great, good.
And, like, the whole encounter, he asked for consent. Which I know the bar is low, but, like, the bar is low. To actually just, like, check in with me before all of this was happening about whether or not I was comfortable with, like, you know, hooking up with him knowing that I wasn't going to see him again. It's, and I was like, yes, I am.
It's a shame how, like, mind-blowing that is to
it
a lot of people. Like,
boggling.
What? You guys were, yeah.
Yeah, and, like, as the encounter was going on, he didn't, like, check in for consent the entire time, but, like, checked in to make sure that I was enjoying myself, if this felt good, like, if we wanted to try anything different. Like, the whole experience, I was like, wow.
Care and tenderness.
And that's the thing. And it was, like, it wasn't as if there was, like, this sweeping romance underneath it, but there was just care. Like, care for another human being that you're interacting with and making them feel good about themselves in this situation. It was wild to me. And after the encounter, like, obviously he wasn't going to stay the night because, you know, it just wasn't that vibe. But, like, checked in with me afterwards, also checked in with me the following morning. And I was just like, Vince, like, no, thank you so much. Like, I literally had, like, the nicest time. You're lovely. Chook is back in Melbourne. Have the best time. And, I mean, you know, it was great. So I just wanted to end on that note.
That is a really nice note to end on,
that
I think.
It is possible for you to be able to engage in situations with casualness, but also casualness does not mean no consideration. Like,
yeah, this is a problem that I continue to have, and this segues nicely into lessons learned. Problem that I continue to have is that people believe that just because you're only having a physical relationship with someone, you have to be a complete asshole to them afterwards, just in case they fall in love with you. Mm. Like, oh, we don't want this to catch feelings, so I've got to be really hostile now that we've fucked.
And it's like, no,
you can just be like, cool, high five, good job, finger guns out.
Yeah.
This strange assumption or short-sightedness I'll put men in it more than women, of men to think that the person, this lady that I'm having casual sex with, she wants casual sex too.
Yeah.
So why are you worried about, oh, if I'm too nice and charming or just, you know, decent human being, she's going to fall in love with me and want to... No, you want casual.
Yeah.
She wants casual.
It is possible for women to want casual relationships.
Yeah,
you know,
they're not...
Like, I've been in situations before with guys who, you know, he had made it clear to me that he wanted, like a friends with benefits thing. And I was like, yeah, to be honest, like, I'm just out of a relationship. That's probably what I'm needing, a little bit of intimacy, but I just want to be mates. And like, he took that as, oh, let's have sex and I'm never going to talk to you ever again.
Yeah.
And it's just like, okay, nah, that's just not it. Like, we can have these encounters with people and still actually really be decent and, you know, caring of each other.
One of my most successful relationships with a man is someone that I've been friends with since I was 19 years old, and we've had much casual sex over the years, and we are still friends and we still hang out, and he's like, I'm going on a date, and I'm like, high five, bitch. Like,
yeah,
you know, like, it's completely possible to not, you know, fuck when Harry met Sally. It is very possible to be friends with someone and have sex with them, and it doesn't need to completely get in the way of actually your relationship as friends.
Mm. That's the thing. Like, I've run into guys after we've hooked up, like literally just being friends and like hooked up and stuff like that, and they're so weird about it, and I was like, insert name here, just calm down, like, it's all right, like, I'm not Glenn Close, you are not Michael Douglas, this is not Fatal Attraction, like, literally simmer the fuck down.
I don't know where it's come from, guys, but there is this there is a mentality with guys and sex where we'll have it and then we wonder, well, this is either gonna she's either going to fall in love with me and want to follow me around for the rest of the world, or it's going to be. We just assume, we don't think through.
So this is where the whole communication thing comes in, right? If people just fucking talked about things,
it's a false assumption
every
time.
And it's like, insert name here. We could have had like plenty of like great
sex. The number of times I've thought you could have had sex on tap, and I never want to date you, but I just wanted to have lots of sex with you, but because you thought I'd fall in love with your magic penis, it's not going to happen.
Get over yourselves. Yeah.
Mm. Really? Like,
So let's go for lessons learned on the early and not as happy weirdo stories.
Yes. What
on the Binman Parade.
Be aware of your shirt size and go to a tailor.
What if you're poor and you're just lanky and poor?
Yeah.
But then don't look at the person that you're dating with judgmental eyes, as if...
That's true. Don't judge if lest you be judged.
Yeah. That's what we can learn.
That's right.
Thanks, Gavin.
I like the idea of taking your dating profile to a friend's.
Yes. The vetting.
And particularly, it seems I'm harping on men here, but we keep being straight men, though,
because I know a lot of my gay friends have given me their profiles and actually gone, do you think?
Sure.
This seems to be a very cis white straight man thing.
Yes, forgive me for that's what I was assuming. Sorry, everybody. Forgive me for assuming that.
I mean, look, it's just narcissistic, really, to think that your image of yourself is the only one that exists.
And it's just not. And you can't, like, and I'm the same. Like, I can't trust what... Because I, with my dating apps, like, even though that's so far and away from where I am at the moment, like, I used to be really self-deprecating and I used to put myself down a lot, like, in the bio and stuff like that. And it's just, I've really got no time for it anymore. Like, just be aware of who you're presenting yourself as and being aware of, like, who you're presenting yourself as and also what you want to receive. Like, if you actually want something genuine, if you want, like, a connection, if you want a relationship, you have to be aware that if you put yourself out to look like you're like a one and done sort of thing, then that's what you're going to get. And there's nothing wrong with that. But if you want something more, be aware of that. Put out what you want.
Yeah, you're more likely to get what you want when you show the world what you want.
Exactly.
When you tell people what you want.
Exactly.
And when you ask for what you want, basically.
I mean, My lesson isn't really a lesson, such as something that pissed me off.
Fine.
Go for it.
I just, what is with people going on dates and playing with people's emotions to sell things or hook you into a scam?
I didn't realize it was a thing.
We just did a call out a couple of episodes ago because we came across a story of someone who, like a multi-level marketing date, and we asked for people to write in on different MLM dates that they've had, and there were so many people writing in.
Thank God I was in a position where I was actually feeling a little bit good about myself and I could recognize that it was less about me and more about him. But like, God forbid, like someone who's like, you know, feeling really vulnerable, feeling, you know, all these sorts of things and people taking advantage of that, that's fucked.
Yep.
Yeah.
And like, to be honest, Daniel, hope you're not doing the best. Hope you did get arrested because what you definitely were doing was illegal.
Yeah, for sure. There just be like, well, how about I have your photo ID as collateral? Yeah. Thanks.
Yes, be careful, everyone out there, not just in the dating realm, every aspect of life, there are bastard people that are looking to take advantage of the poor, the needy, the vulnerable, the most vulnerable and exposed people in life. Be careful.
And I just wanted to throw out as like a lesson learned that I have been learning myself over the last couple of weeks especially, that it is okay if you do not want to put yourself out there and date.
Yes.
And you can get through these conversations with people when they ask you, oh, are you seeing somebody? And it's just like, you know what?
People have stopped asking me now because I set very clear boundaries and just went, no, I'm not, and I'm not really looking for it. If it happens, it happens, but
I had this,
that's not what my life focuses on.
Satan messaged me a few days ago and was like, oh, I just want to let you know that I still think that like the year 28 is going to be like the year of romance for you. And I was like, you know what?
I don't care what you think.
First off, don't care. Second off,
I'm not manifesting
that
shit.
I'm not looking for anything because I'm not in the right frame of mind. And it is okay to be enough on your own. I'm having a great time at the moment. I've just started another job. I'm killing it at auditions. Like, I'm doing all of this other shit. Like, my life and work as a director is going to be kicking off next year. So just like, fuck it. Like, you're enough. You don't have to go on these dates with these losers and you don't have to waste your time with people if you don't want to. Like, fuck. Can't wait till I want to because I can't wait to use all my hot girl outfits and like throw myself out there again. But to be honest, I'm just not there.
No. And that's fine.
Yeah, rightfully so. Congratulations, Jess,
for coming on. Now, before we go, I need to talk about our little JBL giveaway.
Oh, yes.
JBL giveaway.
Yes. So basically, we've had an offer from JBL.
Tell me about it.
Yes. So take the party with you, friends, no matter the weather. So we have a JBL Charge 5 speaker to give away. Now, these speakers deliver bold JBL original pro sound with optimized long excursion driver. Don't know what that means. Separate tweeter, dual pumping JBL bass radiators, up to 20 hours of playtime, and also a power bank to charge all your devices.
These things are the most handy thing in the world. Like, and I'm not just saying JBL, all wireless Bluetooth speakers that you can just have.
And this one sounds really nice. Like, I've listened to this one. It's so handy. It's waterproof and dustproof. So if you get rained out or you drop it in the pool, you're good.
You take it to the beach. You take it to the park. You take it around the house. You take it in the garden.
Yep.
These things are
take
brilliant.
It on a date with Gavin.
Take it on a date with Gavin. and you can also, if you've got a couple of them, JBL speakers, you can link them up for what's called Party Boost, so you can have a bunch of speakers playing the same sound and surround yourself with it.
Now, you could listen on the JBL thing, the 10-minute version of All Too Well by Taylor Swift.
All Ghosts of Boyfriends Past. So to win, what do you have to do? Well, in the next month, you have to either write in your story for a mini-sode at ghostsofboyfriendspast@gmail.com or contact us on our social media. So write in your mini-sode story or apply to be a guest at thatsnotcanon.com/ghostsofboyfriendspast. We will be running this for a month, so over two main episodes and then the two minis in between. We'll remind you again at the end of next main episode, and then I will draw and make sure that the person who wins said speaker gets it sent to them post haste.
That's it, readers. No, all you have to do is do what we've been asking
and,
you to do.
I need to make clear that this is not a game of chance. It's a game of skill. I will be judging your entries, and whoever writes the best, most interesting entry or story wins, because that's the law in Australia. You have to make it a game of skill. So yes, please make sure in the best story or best application to write in wins. Until then, I have been Liz Best here with...
I'm Tom Harris. Thank you for tuning in.
And I guess what's the take-home message of this episode?
Oh my God. Find the happy ending.
Finish on a happy note. Yeah, I like that. Finish like on that. A happy note.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There are known knowns, known unknowns, and unknown unknowns. But there are also unknown knowns. The Ancient and Esoteric Order of the Jackalope is a secret society devoted to unearthing and sharing this forgotten knowledge. Each episode, we take one of these strange stories and share it with you. No topic is off limits, except for the obvious. Available wherever fine podcasts are sold.